Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 131. Is this still that? Faith principles to receive your miracle. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message from Fort Wayne, Indiana on May 31st, 2020.
Okay, this morning we want to continue our messages on faith, but this is the day of Pentecost. Shavuot, as it is in Hebrew. The day of Pentecost was the day when God gave Moses the law on Sinai. And also for us who are on this side of the millennia, this was the day that God poured out of his Spirit on all flesh, beginning in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, when the 120 were gathered in the upper room, when they were obeying the words of Jesus that Pastor Karen read just a little bit ago during our transition time about being ready to receive the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So it says in the last days that God said he would pour out of his Spirit on all flesh. And the book of Acts details many of those mighty outpourings of his Spirit upon the early believers. But the reality is that the outpouring never stopped since then. It's okay. It never stopped since then. It has never stopped. The Holy Spirit never went away. And he's not going away unless you go away, because he's come to live inside of you forever. So it's a wonderful time to live. But it's also awesome to know that the book of Acts didn't really end with Acts chapter 28. The chapters are still being written today in the lives of believers everywhere. And while I'm not saying that, you know, every page is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in reality it really is because if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you're obeying him, it's an amazing day. It's not only an amazing day, it's a day of obedience, and it's a day when God will pour out of his Spirit through you to touch the lives and the hearts of people everywhere. So we want to speak about that this morning, starting out with some readings. We're going to intersperse readings with testimonies of how people receive the Holy Spirit or how the Holy Spirit has impacted their lives. And so this morning we ask that you be encouraged to let the presence of the Holy Spirit fill your life, and then let him use you to touch the lives of other people. Our first reading today is from Acts chapter 2. I think this is appropriate to go back to actually the beginning of the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by believers. They were completely amazed. 'How can this be?' they exclaimed. 'These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the other areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things that God has done.' They stood there amazed and perplexed, saying, 'What could this mean?' But others in the crowd mocked them and ridiculed them, saying, 'They're just drunk, that's all.' Then Peter stepped forward and the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, 'Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming, 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out of my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of the lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to the cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. Skipping to verse 36. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all of his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. So you see, the church didn't start little, it started big on the first day, on the day of Pentecost many years ago. And it's been growing, growing, growing ever since till today. Millions and millions and millions of people are followers of Jesus Christ. It's an awesome day to be alive, because these are the end of times. And if the end of times were close then, the end of times are even closer now. Now here comes Pastor Don. He's going to give a testimony, and then we'll have another scripture reading.
We can go home now. This is Pentecost, and we've had the reading of Acts chapter 2, so. Isn't that what happens in a lot of churches today? We sang a song, the first one in our worship and praise, that had a couple phrases. We sing, Hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. In Revelation 12, verse 11, we read, they triumphed or overcame him, referring to Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so today we have some opportunity for testimonies. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was experienced on the first Pentecost, the outpouring as prophesied by Joel, such an extraordinary, extraordinary thing. It has to be more than just a reading for this Sunday. It has to have meaning and purpose in our lives today. And it does. Some number of years ago, back in 1980, that's a few years ago, I was gradually dying from what at that time was considered a relatively rare small intestinal disease, so that it didn't make any difference what I ate. They tell me that I was absorbing only less than 6% of the nutrition in anything that I ate. At that time, there was a crisis going on in Ethiopia, and I was beginning to look like an Ethiopian child that you would see on TV. I went to the most select choice of a doctor to find out what was wrong, a chiropractor, okay, because of my condition finally, okay? Well, the first thing that he said, and as he examined me, he said, "Have you always had such a wasting away of your upper chest muscles and distended stomach and the other symptoms that I described to him?" And I really hadn't observed it had come on quite gradually. So the first thing he did was took a blood test. When the results came back in, I received even a phone call, because it was so abnormal. So he insisted that I see a doctor of internal medicine. That probably made sense. And so the doctor of internal medicine had me admitted to the hospital, undergoing all kinds of tests for about a week. I'm talking about back in 1980. I had a younger brother who just several years before that had experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so while I was in the hospital, he knew that I would be there a while. I had shared that with him. And he sent me some books and tapes to listen to and read during that period of time. And one of them was actually a message that he himself had given. And at the end of the message, I had nothing else to do but read and listen, but that wasn't a burden to me. I've always enjoyed studying the Bible, even during the some 40 years, you know, from the time I was very, very small. But I came across some things that I had received relatively little teaching on. And one of them was God's provision for divine healing. And you seldom hear much teaching on God's provision for divine healing from someone that has not also experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so you sort of get those teachings all in one package. That's pretty great, right? But so he gave the message. It was quite good. And then he went into prayer. And initially, I was understanding what he was praying for. But then all of a sudden, I couldn't understand what he was praying. So after having listened to that, I called him and I said, "Is that what speaking in tongues is?" And he said, "Yes." He was always quite a person of few words, you know, but he answered my question. But with the teachings that I received, you know, that was something, as I saw that put together, that this is something I must have, I must experience. And so from that point on, I've voraciously increased my study of the Word and listening to teachings along those lines, and prayed to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I was in the insurance business at the time, and you know, even as I heard about that and I shared with him, you know, it must be pretty neat where you live, because we were about 1,000 miles away from each other, okay, at that time. I said, "They don't have any churches down here in this city of about 90,000 people that even teaches anything about that, as far as I knew. But then you see, I was in a denominational church that read about Pentecost on every Pentecost Sunday, but it was a reading on a Sunday. That was not satisfactory to me, so I pursued, looking. And then he came across the fact that there in that city lived an international director of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. Well, if he lived there, there must be a chapter located in that city. So I began watching the newspaper for that and came across, they had some meetings. So I began attending some Full Gospel Businessmen's meetings. And I really need to move beyond this because I could share for the rest of the day. Because truly, the baptism in the Holy Spirit should not be something that you just read about. It should not be something just read about on a Sunday. It should be something experienced. And so as I pursued that, and leaving out some of the details in order to be able to share my time with others, on a business trip from Fort Smith, Arkansas to Texarkana, it's a bit of a drive. I had a cassette player in my car, and I was listening to a cassette tape on God's Provision for Divine Healing and the Baptism of the Holy Spirit by Kenneth Copeland. Now, this wasn't the first reading along this line I had taken, but I happened to be listening to that. And en route to my business appointment, I experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit and began speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. I didn't have anyone to lay hands on me in the car. I was driving by myself. And I was very thankful that I was not slain in the Spirit because I maybe would have been slain on the highway, okay? But I did have that experience, and so the rest of the way to my appointment, I was speaking in tongues. And all the way back after the appointment, that was the highlight of my day. Having already become part of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, I received a phone call one day, and I was in my office, from a gentleman in Little Rock, Arkansas, asking me if I would carry a message to someone that they had purpose to invite to give a message and a testimony in their chapter in Little Rock. And I said, sure, I'd be happy to do that because I thought that I knew where the person lived. And so I closed my office early that day and went to the house that I believed the person lived in. And when I knocked at the door, a young man came to the door. It was not the man that I was supposed to carry a message to. But as he opened the door and I began to speak to him, I could hear small children crying in the background. And he explained to me that he had been off work for some period of time and they had no money, not enough to take them to a doctor for an appointment. And so I offered if I could pray for them, if you wouldn't mind. I came into the house a little bit disheveled, but there in the one bedroom was his wife holding the youngest, and there were two other small children. And so he picked up one and I picked up one. And we just huddled. And I began praying for them in tongues. I didn't know what their condition was. They didn't either. And as I was praying in tongues, the mother interrupted me at one point. And she said, my baby's temperature is going down. I can feel that the temperature is going down. And 5 to 10 minutes later, the children had all stopped crying. Their temperatures had returned to normal. And I left the house that I wasn't invited to. But the Holy Spirit is wonderful. And that was only just a beginning. That was only just a beginning. And there are others that have things to share about their experience. But it was wonderful to see the miraculous power of God. It wasn't because of me. It was because of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, I encourage everyone, don't just be satisfied to be aware of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Don't just tolerate it. Hunger for it. Hunger for it. Jesus said in John chapter 7, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he went on to explain this would have to do with the Holy Spirit, who had not yet come because he had not yet been glorified. And Pastor Karen had read the passage in Acts chapter 1 that the disciples were given the command. It was not a suggestion. It was a command to wait until they received the gift that the Father promised, because they had indeed been baptized in water, but they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's why they returned to Jerusalem. They had already been with Jesus some 3 to 3.5 years, okay? And they knew what they were to do. They were to be witnesses unto him. But he says, not until you have received power from on high, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Who would not want power from on high? If you desire to serve Jesus in any way. And so it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's a single phrase. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Speaking in tongues comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, like wet comes with water. You can't separate the wet out of water and still have water. The Apostle Paul would not have said, I wish that all of you would speak in other tongues if it was not possible for you to. He would not have boasted about himself, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all, if it wasn't beneficial in some way. When you speak in tongues, you are speaking mysteries with your spirit. You are not speaking to men, but to God. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So use what is available to you. Jude says, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Who would not want to build themselves up sometimes if you don't have someone next to you that can do that? And so, God in his love made provision not only for healing in a variety of ways. You remember, right? Whether it was mud or placing hands on or speaking the word, a variety of ways. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a variety of ways also. It's not limited to someone laying their hands on you, but it is available to you that way. But in Luke 11, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks, the door will be opened. If you being evil, he said in reference to fathers, if a son asks a father for fish, will he give him a snake? Or if he asks for bread, will he give him a scorpion? And Jesus himself says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So ask, believing. The speaking in tongues just comes with it. But they were filled and they began to speak. Just like, how did you become saved? You spoke with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you were saved. You didn't think about Jesus being Lord. You spoke with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So when you pray for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to be bold enough to speak words that the Holy Spirit gives. They spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So utilize everything that is available to you by God, okay? To me, it's interesting. There are many churches that don't even want to teach about it because they consider it divisive. That sounds to me like a message from the devil. They are preventing the power of the Holy Spirit from operating in your lives. So when it's made available to you, seek it with all your heart. Don't be satisfied until you receive it. If anyone is thirsty, Jesus said, let him come to me and drink. And he gave them that command, and his disciples and the group of 120 waited until they received. And we've had the reading on that. So praise God. There is so much more that could be shared. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is so extraordinary. Don't just tolerate it. Ask for it. You maybe don't have that, just like in some other areas of your life where John says, you have not because you ask not. So ask believing. That's how you receive salvation. Ask believing and you can receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. To me, it's amazing, the story of Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts, I believe, chapter 8. He was even willing to pay money. And he was the great power who had amazed the people with the miracles or, you know, fantastic things that he did. He would have paid money for it. That's not the way you receive it. And Peter made that very clear to him. Read the story. But it totally amazes me that there would be anyone who claims to be a Christian and would not desire also to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to give you power from on high, to give you power from on high, to call to your remembrance things that Jesus has said, to tell you of things yet to come, to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit, so important. So, if anyone has heard this message, whether by podcast or Zoom or in person, don't let another day go by if you have not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit in all of its fullness. I just encourage that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Don. That was awesome. So sometimes when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's opposition. I heard a story of a gentleman who got filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he went to his church, and his church kicked him out. And he was complaining to the Lord about this, you know, how come I should obey you and receive this baptism in the Holy Spirit and get kicked out? And he said that Jesus said back to him, he said, never mind, I got kicked out of that church a long time ago. So if there's some opposition, don't worry about it. God will take care of the problem. It'll not be an issue. But there's a story about that in Acts chapter 4, where these guys received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then they started obeying God, and then they got big time opposition. It's a story about Peter and John after they healed the sick man, the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. Acts chapter 4, verse 1 says, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, they put them in jail until morning. But many of the people heard their message, believed it, so that the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. So the church is growing, growing, growing. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of the religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or by whose name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed to the crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. Some translations said they were ignorant men. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. So right now, here's Tanya. She's going to give her testimony for this morning. Welcome, Tanya.
They had a healings going on, and I stood up and I just put my hands out in front of me, and I started praying for the people to receive the healings, and I knew that was the key to receive. And so I was praying for them, and as I was praying, my hands started shaking and getting higher and higher, and my voice was getting more convicted and stronger and powerful, and praying, and it was a feeling I'd never experienced before. And as I looked to the left or to the right of me at my friends and family that were sitting with me, I said, what's happening to me? And nobody knew, but I'd never heard of such a thing. But as I continued to pray, put my hands higher and higher, which at the time I couldn't raise my hands above my elbow level too much without having pain from a terrible car accident. And my sister would put my hands down and sit me down and say, you're going to hurt tomorrow. You've got to sit down. Stop this. And I couldn't. I'd stand back up and my hands would go higher. And the power was just coursing through me. A very bewildering moment, but very powerful at the same time. And that was the beginning of me being filled with the Holy Spirit. So how has it changed my life? Well, the first thing was is I had to go find a new church because I had no idea what had happened to me, and I needed to know. So in finding my father's house, within 6 months of that, I started asking questions about what do you think that was that happened to me? And I started renewing my mind in the Word of God and understanding more of things of what is in there. Number one thing that has happened to me is I now am surrounded with the presence of God. I feel him all the time. He's always with me. He gives me spiritual insight into things that I did not have before. I have been totally healed of pain from a car accident after 14 years. I have no more pain meds, no more pain shots, no more patches. I am healed. I've been delivered of all mental and emotional issues after 30 years of things, one after another, seeing counselors, seeing psychiatrists, taking lots of medications. I have none of that anymore. I am totally set free. The other thing that's happened is I've been filled with an insatiable hunger for the Word of God. I am seeking knowledge and wisdom every day. I want more. I want to know more. I want to understand more. And so I'm seeking that. I've been filled with a holy boldness to share the gospel with others and desiring to bring people into the kingdom and teach them his ways. And he is giving me knowledge on that, and I'm so grateful. Mark 16:17 says, "These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, and they shall speak in new tongues." I am seeing demons cast out of people in Jesus' name. And I have been given my own Holy Spirit language, which I truly, truly love, and I speak all the time, and I'm so grateful, knowing he's in me and giving me that language to speak. I share these things with you today not to brag or build up myself, but to give glory to God, to praise him for this precious gift of the Holy Spirit. I am forever, forever, eternally grateful for his resurrection, for his redemption, and for his rescuing me from a life that I thought I had right. By simply aligning it with his word, it has opened up a whole new life for me, and I am grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanya. So our next reading this morning is from the book of Acts again. This is from the 8th chapter, the 12th verse. This is the story of Philip when he went to preach in Samaria after the church was being scattered after the persecution that came when Stephen was murdered. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. It says, "Now the people believed Philip's message of the good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself," this was Simon the sorcerer that Pastor Don referred to just a little while ago, "Simon himself believed and was baptized. He began following Philip wherever he went, and he was amazed by the signs and the miracles that Philip performed." Verse 14, "When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit." So as Pastor Don was sharing before, the way you get filled with the Holy Spirit can be different from person to person and from time to time, but it's the same Holy Spirit that will fill you and empower you. Now here's Enoch to give his testimony.
All right, can you see me? All right, I see my boy, so can you all hear me? Alrighty, sounds good. Alrighty, okay. I'll try to keep it short again. The Holy Spirit is the best thing since creation, because not sliced bread, since creation. He's just awesome. I don't think we can ever survive. Sorry, there's a flashlight. Somebody turned it on, left it here. So, you know, it's interesting. The Father wanted to join himself with people. So he came down, you know, we read the story in the Old Testament, the tabernacle. "Hey, these are the regulations, stipulations, keep it because I want to come and be with you. I will dwell among you." Obviously, the people didn't do a good job, you know. So he sent Jesus to redeem them back. And when Jesus came and he finished the work on the cross, Jesus, the presence of God, now dwelt inside of us. Now he is dwelling inside of us. And then when Jesus left, you know, everybody's thinking, no, you can't go, you know, at least till I'm dead, you got to stay here. And she says, no, you don't understand. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, stay here. And we know that the Holy Spirit came, and now we are in a totally different realm. You know, it's interesting that the plan of God was always to dwell with people, but we could not because he was so holy. But now the Holy Spirit does not live around us. He lives inside of us. He's made us holy. Instead of we trying to do things, he has made us holy. So for me, reading from the scriptures about the Holy Spirit coming upon you from Acts 1:8, I always wanted to know that and feel the presence. And many a times, you know, you feel like, well, I have strived enough. You don't get anything. How do I do this? Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is available for every person. In fact, we read in when Peter goes and visits Cornelius, Peter's telling about, they're not even officially saved. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they start speaking in tongues. And that's what Peter goes back to his brothers and says, what am I supposed to do, that seeing that even they were filled with the Holy Spirit? So he's available for every person. So for me, I always desired, you know, we were back in India where I'm from, the church where we used to visit godly people, but they didn't, you know, traditional, they didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. It's not for these days, which is not in the Bible at all. But I always had a desire. If this is true, this is something I'm reading, I wanted. So there are four things that I applied, or the Holy Spirit actually helped me to build this relationship. How do I get the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Four things. Number one is desire. Number two is acquire. Number three is require. And number four is inspire. So number one is desire. It always starts with a desire. So for me, it always was desire. And through the years, what I found is, you know, don't get the Holy Spirit for the blessing. Don't get the Holy Spirit for the miraculous that's going to happen. Don't get him for the feelings. It's not about the feelings. Many people don't have the feelings. And, you know, if we base it on the feelings, you will always look for the feelings. It's not about the feelings, you know, because I've always seen people, you know, being out of control, doing supernatural things, and it's not about that. The only thing is, it's all about love. So it starts with the right desires. If you have pure motives, Lord, I just want to love you and be loved by you the way you want to, God is always going to honor that. And in that, it says in Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So you can't conjure up. You don't have to perform anything. You just have to believe. You just have to desire. And he says, Lord, I am ready. I am desiring. For me, it took 2 years. And it's okay. It could be 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 months, but keep desiring. And like I said, if you do it by faith, you will always receive it. So that's desire. It starts with the desire. Number two is acquire. Be sincere. Sincerely seek. If you sincerely seek, you will get it. See, in Luke 11:13, we read that if you sinful people, the scripture says, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Very simple. I think the Lord made it so simple. Just ask, be sincere about it, and keep seeking it, and you will get it. Number three is require. What must I do? You know, we as humans say, what must I do? Yes, there is something you must do. You have to be three things. You have to be faithful, available, and teachable. What does faithful mean? What must I do? What does faithful to be baptized in the Holy Spirit mean? That once I get it, whether it's by the laying of the hands or driving in a car, practice daily. One of the first things the enemy is going to come and tell you is like, that sounds so stupid. You're making it up. And, you know, or this is not real. You know, or please don't do this in front of people. It's gonna make people laugh at you or things like that. No. Practice daily. It's a gift that God has given to you. practice daily, even if it feels, it sounds stupid or crazy. By the way, the father always looks at it, hears it, and says, it's lovely. When you have a newborn baby, you know, the newborn baby's not going to say, hey, mama, I'm hungry. Give me some milk. No. It's going to cry. It's going to say, goo goo, gaga, all of those things. And what that means is, to the mother, to the father, that is the most amazing sound they've heard. It touches them. That's exactly how the father feels. But as you keep practicing speaking in tongues and walking in it, you will actually, the Lord will polish things up where you don't need to. By the way, it's the only thing that you can do. Like, I can read a scripture, I can read a Bible, listen to my wife, and speak in tongues, and all at the same time. It's amazing. It's amazing. So that's being faithful. Practice daily. A lot of people, you know, we pray for, that I have prayed for, the guys that I pray for, you know, they do it for a month and then they just drop it. And, you know, like, hey, are you praying in tongues daily? He's like, no, why not? You eat daily. Why not practice? So be faithful. That's so important. Number two, be available. Be ready to flow in it whenever the Holy Spirit prompts you. One of the things that Pastor Don taught or sharing about this family, you know, sometimes God takes you and you're in a place where you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. Guess what? The best thing you could do is start praying in tongues and he'll tell you what to do. He'll move through you to do what to do. And then you will see signs, wonders, and miracles. It's that way. And it's amazing when you are saying, Lord, I'm available. Wherever, whenever, at most times when you don't know what to do, start praying in tongues and the Lord will speak to you. You will hear it and you will be able to do what he wants you to do. The third thing is be teachable. Stay with the Holy Spirit at all times. Don't get ahead of him. Don't say, I've done this 15 times before, 100 times before, let me do it. No. You got to walk with him. When he says stop, many a times I've gone and I've been praying and I feel like speaking in tongues and the Holy Spirit say, stop. No, don't do that. Because this person does not have the base to put this, you know, the foundation to put this. Just pray in your words. And inside, I am praying in tongues and I'm hearing things that he's telling me to do. Amazing things. By the way, you can do this with your spouse. Stop arguments. Guess what? Start praying in tongues. Just be faithful, available, and teachable. So that's the requirement. And the last thing, inspire. Teach others. You know, Matthew 10:8 says, you know, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So guess what? This is a gift, not to just keep it to yourself, give it. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit touches you, your will, mind, emotions, your body, your family, your career, your job, your boss, your neighbors, your church, everything. You go to Walmart, my goodness, they'll change Walmart. We've had people, you know, the manager come out and say, oh, can you pray for me? You know, things like that. Weird things happen in a good way. So let me sum this up. Number one, desire. It starts with the desire. Number two, acquire. Sincerely seek. God wants to. He has promised you this. Number three, require. What must I do? Be faithful, available, and teachable. Number four, inspire. Teach others so they can also walk in that way. And here's the thing, and Pastor Harley touched on this. Let me close with this. Pastor Harley touched on this. You know, this today is Shavuot. It's the 50th day, you know, after the Passover, and the Holy Spirit came, you know, about 2,000 years back. 4,000 years before that, the Torah was given, the law was given, the love letter of the marriage was given. It is a marriage. It is the love letter and that was given. And while God was giving that love letter on Mount Sinai under the canopy of the wedding canopy, it says there was fire and smoke. The people were building a calf. They already broke the marriage covenant. It hurt God. It broke his heart. For the first time, he was coming down and saying, here's my love letter, my bride. And the bride was already sleeping around with somebody else. It broke God's heart. They broke the covenant. But it was not that it was unkeepable. And God fulfilled it again. And then 4,000 years later, God says, now I will give you the Holy Spirit the same day. Can you imagine? The same day, the Shavuot, I'll give you the Holy Spirit who will come inside of you. I believe the Holy Spirit is the wedding ring. You know, we read in Jeremiah, and let me quote this. Behold, in Jeremiah 31:31-33, behold, the days are coming that declares the Lord, that I'll make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, because Israel was unfaithful. God divorced her. He couldn't remarry her. It's not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, for after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. But you all know in the Old Testament, once divorced, you can't marry. You can't marry. So, you know, this is the mystery of the gospel. How can God remarry the Israel? Now, Israel is not the Jewish people. It's you and me as well. We are all part of Israel. How can you marry? Because you said once you divorce, you can't marry again unless the spouse dies. And guess what? God died on the cross. Now he's free to marry. That's the mystery. Now we can remarry. And it says in Ezekiel 36:22-27, I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to follow and keep my laws. Now, here's the thing. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He is the wedding ring that makes us together, one with God. Heart and mind, we can hear him, we can love him, we can be loved by him, and we can walk in the supernatural. So let me encourage you, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, that is the best thing. In fact, it is the best thing you can do. After being born again, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, but in the baptism, he comes upon you. My goodness, it's like taking a shower over and over, and it'll always, you will always be a shining light that people cannot refute. They will come to you, and you will be an inspiration. And let me bless you with that. God bless you.
Thank you, Enoch. Praise the Lord. You know, God is very, very creative. And he's amazing. Sometimes we've ministered to people and they've seemed to have difficulty in receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you have to kind of search to see what might be blocking or what might be happening, what might be going on, so that they can receive. But the reality is that God is really, really wanting people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's amazing. So here's a story where he just couldn't wait for people to get filled with the Holy Spirit. This is from Acts chapter 4. It's the story of Cornelius. I'm going to start with verse 30. The whole chapter is really an awesome chapter to review because it really shows you God's heart for people. In Acts chapter 4, verse 30, it said, Cornelius replied, 4 days ago I was praying in my house about the same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and suddenly a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, Cornelius, your prayer's been heard and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying at the home of Simon the tanner, who lives near the seashore. So I sent for you at once, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here waiting before God to hear the message that the Lord has given you. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism, for in every nation he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And the apostles were are witnesses of all that he did throughout Jerusalem, through Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death on the cross by hanging him on the cross, but God raised him up to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We are those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one the prophets all testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening to the message. And the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, "Can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" So what an amazing, amazing story, how the Holy Spirit came to the Gentiles. Sorry, that was Acts chapter 10, in case you were looking. Praise the Lord. So here's Ellie. She's going to give her testimony.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Am I on? Yes. Okay. Good morning. It is great to be here in the house of the Lord on Pentecost Sunday. And hello to everyone in Zoom. Glad to see you all. Blessings. I wanted to share with you this morning how I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was kind of a little bit like Dawn in an unusual way. I was by myself at home, and I was having dinner. And usually when I'm having dinner by myself, I normally will turn on my cell phone to a message. And that evening was a message by Pastor John Kilpatrick. Any of you guys heard of Pastor John Kilpatrick? Okay, so I was been listening to him all week. Sometimes the Lord just puts a certain pastor in my heart, and then I listen to him for weeks sometimes. And so I was listening to him while I was having my dinner. And I can't even remember what the message was about at the time, because this was many years ago. But in the middle of his service, he said, "Okay, I want the whole congregation to stand up, you know." And so I'm sitting having my dinner, and so everybody stands up, and he says, "I start praying in your spiritual language." And they all started praying. I'm like, whoa, I mean, this is awesome. All of them are doing it, not just one person. And they're all, and then he start talking to me, you guys, okay? He says, "All of you at home, if you're listening at home, stand up." And he said, "If you're in your dining room, stand up." And I'm looking, I'm like, what? Right? This man is talking to me through my phone, telling me to stand up. She's like, "Don't be afraid, just do it." So, you know, I stood up. And so he says, "So just, you know, start receiving the Holy Spirit." And I'm like, okay, so I close my eyes, right? I'm trying to get all spiritual here. Close my eyes. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, go, come on. And then he says, just like, "Don't get frustrated at those people of you at home. Don't get frustrated." He says, "Open your mouth." Like, you know, this is like kind of cool, right? Open your mouth. So I'm like, all right. So I open my mouth, right? And I let it come out. I'm like, nothing's coming out, right? And like, okay, so I'm like trying to get like, oh, come on, you know. And I'm trying to like push it out, right? And then he says, it was so funny because I thought this man is watching it through my window or something, you know? And he says, "Let a word out, like you know, like babies, ba or da, or just, you know, spit it out." And I'm like, okay. And then he says, I wasn't saying anything because I'm like, I look really stupid here, you know? I know nobody's watching me, but I was like, okay, yeah, this is just a little bit out here. And so I'm like, and he says, "Just say it." And like, I knew he was talking to me. He's like, "Just say it." And then all of a sudden, it's that, and I said, and I remember these three words because they were just, I said that for a long time. So I said, karamatese. And then I covered my mouth. I was like, oh. And then he says, no, don't cover your mouth. And I was like, where are you? I'm like he could see me in the spirit or something. And he's like, don't cover your mouth. Just say it out. And so I was like, karamatese, karamatese. And I was like, okay. And then I was, at first I was kind of spooked for a minute, you know. And then I kept saying, you know, because that was the only three words they would come out. I was like, karamatese, karamatese. And I was like, okay, I'm liking this. You know, and I was like, okay, it's getting hot in here. What is going on? And I had just felt this immense heat. And I just kept saying karamatese. And the more I kept saying karamatese, it was like, well, back then I didn't get hot flashes. Well, I get hot flashes now. And it was one of those. And it was like, I was on fire, you know? And I was like, yes. And then he says, you got it? Are you feeling it? And I'm like, yes, I'm feeling it. And he was just like, kind of like kind of smiling and laughing. Like he knew that somebody, like, I think the message was like, what, 3-4 years ago that was recorded, and here I am now in today. You're like, I'm like, wow, that was powerful, right? I'm like, I remember like it was yesterday having dinner with John Kilpatrick. And it was so, so interesting, and I loved every part of it. But then as I kept, you know, practicing, like, Inosek, you got to practice, you know, you got to. So I would, it was my favorite time to practice, was either driving to work, you know, and it was called karamatese. And then all of a sudden I get another little word in there. I was like, ooh, that was good, you know. So I kept on going. And then one evening I was in my tub, and I like to have a lot, like, you know, dim lights and candle and just, you know, just talk to God when in my bathroom relaxing. And all of a sudden it just came out. And it was, and I'm like, whoa. And I'm like, I'm not stopping. I'm going. And I'm going. And I was like, I think I was in there for like an hour. Just like, it was amazing, right? I'm like, oh, I like this. I like this better than English because English is my second language. And I was like, this is a lot easier, right? And so I'm like, I like this. So I'm like, throughout my house, and I'm like cleaning, and my son is like, my older son, you know, what are you learning, Mom? What are you speaking? And I just didn't want to let go of it. I'm like, I'm getting good at it, and I'm, you know, praying at work. And at work, they allow us to have like a little earphone here. And so people thought I was on the phone all day long, but I'm just like, building the trucks and just praying in the spirit, right? And people are like, and the supervisor's like, is she still on the phone? And the person working like, oh no, she's over there slaying dragons and demons and praying. And you can talk to her. Because people, you know, I'm like, oh, she's a little bullshit, and then I'm building the truck. And the supervisor thinks, I'm like, when's she going to be off that phone? She's not even supposed to be on the phone, right? She goes, oh no, that, Ali, she just prays all the time. You go talk to her, you know? And so now it's like, this is the most awesome and amazing, you know, thing that we have that God's given us. And not only just the speaking of tongues, but also that the Holy Spirit is speaking through us and depositing things. And ever since that night, I just like, I've always been a dreamer. And even though I didn't know it was all from God, I've always prophesied, even though I didn't even know what that was. And I started, like, more dreams start coming, and I would get word of knowledge. I would be like talking to a lady at work, and all of a sudden I would start saying stuff to her, and she's like, how do you know that stuff? Like, because I mean, I just met her. How do you know this stuff? And I was like, well, that's just God. God is just saying that to me, and then I'm just saying it to you. He's like, well, that is cool. And then so I kept talking to her, and God would reveal some things that I was like, whoa, right? And so that I was able to minister to that person. I mean, I would have dreams, and in my dreams, I would have like numbers or names or situations, or you would put a person and that I know how to pray for. So it's so powerful, you know, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I just one of the ones that really, really, like, I was like so surprised. I don't know why I'm so surprised with God, because he surprises me every day even more. But we went to Peru last year on a mission trip, and we were walking downtown and we were praying for people, and Bob and several other people in my team, there was a man that needed prayer for his knee. So Bob looks at me and says, Ellie, I said, I'm going to lay hands on him. You pray in the spirit. And I said, okay, I can do that. I'm really good at that. I got all kinds of stuff coming on. You know, I got all kinds of stuff. Sometimes I'm like praying in the spirit and I sound Chinese, you guys. I was like, whoa, that was good. Or it's from some other country. So Bob is laying hands on this man, praying for his healing. I'm praying in the spirit, you know. And I'm just like not even looking at them, and I'm just praying in the spirit. And then he's just like staring at me. I'm like, okay, staring at me while Bob is praying for him, right? So when we got done praying, he says, take off your brace, you know. So he takes off his brace and he says, oh, it feels better. And then he looks at me, he goes, ma'am. And I said, yes. He goes, are you from like Russia? And I'm like, no, I'm Mexican. I speak Spanish. He was like, you were just praying in Russian. You were praying, you know, in Russian. And I'm like, are you from Russia? He says, I speak 5 different languages. And you were praying for my knee in Russian. And I was like, that is so cool that I didn't know what I was praying, but the man that we were praying for, he knew everything that I was praying for, you know? And then another, I mean, this is so cool. And then another time, Pastor Karen is praying for somebody, and I opened my eyes. I'm like, that's Pastor Karen. She's praying in Spanish, you know? I was like, I'm understanding everything she's saying. It was so cool. You know, I opened my eyes to see who was praying. It was Pastor Karen praying in Spanish for that person's need. And then it was so cool. And it is just so amazing how God is so good, right? And if like Enoch said, if you want it, you can have it, right? You can have it. And, you know, like Acts, Pastor been reading the book of Acts, and Acts 2:2 says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, you know, like a rushing mighty wind. And out of it, they were filled with the house was filled. I mean, this is just not for back then. This is for today. We can be filled with the Holy Ghost. We can be like walking and talking and having visions and seeing things and prophesying. We all can have these gifts, right? We got to desire them. I'm like, when I learn all this stuff a while back, I'm like, I want it. I want it. I want it times 100. I want it. Right. And when the Lord was like, I was like, ooh, this is so cool that you're able to minister to someone like out of the, like their need and know what their need at, what their need is before they even tell you, you know, and it is so, so powerful. And so if you are not filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost, oh, this is the day, right? Pentecost Sunday, this is the day to get that wonderful gift, because it's powerful. It has changed my life dramatically, and every day is the awesome walk with the Lord. Amen. One more scripture, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Ask God. He will show you. He will show you. Amen? Amen. Be blessed, everyone.
Thanks, Ellie. That was fantastic. So now to Acts chapter 11. It's right this time. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. This is interesting scripture about the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, Acts chapter 11. Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word of God, but only to the Jews. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch and from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of the Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. When the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch, and when he arrived, he saw this evidence of God's blessing. He was filled with joy and encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. So important to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, because the lives of people are changed everywhere. So here's Sarah. She's going to give her testimony, the last one. Go for it.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Good to see you all. I honestly can't remember one experience or one day when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. But my salvation was also like that, too. It was kind of a gradual process for me. I'm a gradual sort of. I ease my way in, I guess. I don't know. And so, sorry, I was leaving the screen there, wasn't I? I'm going to stay right here. Tanya's going like this. I'll stay in the frame. Okay. I'll try not to do all of this. Okay, focus. But I think, you know, reflecting on the impact of the Holy Spirit in my life, I think the biggest thing for me is power. power in my life, because before I was filled and operating in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I lived a very cautious, very safe life and didn't take a lot of risks. But you know, when we become born again, and even when God knits us in our mother's womb, He's got a call for our lives. He has a plan and a purpose for us. But I believe, you know, the first step is when we become born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, the Bible says, right? So I have that fire within me. But I was thinking about, you guys know that I like metaphors and I'm a visual person. And so, you know, it's like I have this fire inside of me, but the difference between being just born again and having the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like lighting a match and putting fuel on that fire. And because that fire is going to burn and burn a lot brighter, right? Or I think in cell group we were talking about, it's the difference between having a rowboat or having a motorboat. Right? And so, you know, the Lord had a call in my life and a call to the nation. It has a call on my life to the nations. And imagine me going to the nations in a rowboat, you know, on my own strength, rowing and sweating and, you know, but if, you know, He's given me a motorboat, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going, and I'm going everywhere that He's sending me, right? And so I think for me, He just kind of set me on fire. And it was like, where is, like, I mean, my family, it started with getting me to Arizona, living with a different culture on the Navajo Indian Reservation, which where I was saved. And, you know, my family, like, I remember my dad asked me one time, like, what's changed? Like, you're so different. You never took risks. You never, like, went out of a comfort zone and you're going here and now. And, you know, and then 3 years later, the whisper. So I got saved. And in that 3 years time, that whisper in my heart became louder and louder of go to the nations, like go to South America. And, yeah. So I went in my motorboat. and I grew so much in that time and in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think because, like I said, it was a gradual thing for me. I expanded into that and I received so much restoration in my person. One of the other things that I can see the influence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life is hearing His voice. And that was a lie that the devil loved to tell me. And I believed for a time that I couldn't hear His voice. And I struggled with that. You know, and it's like, well, other people are getting all these spiritual things and sharing, well, God spoke to me and this and that. And I'm like, I don't know. You know, just, I had that, I was just fearful to maybe say what, or allow it to come to me. And so the Lord has really taught me. It's been such an experience. And the Holy Spirit just lights it up to me. And so I understand who his voice is, what his voice is, that he's speaking to me. And, you know, just like Ellie shared stories of different times, there's so many stories of times where, you know, that I couldn't have known, first of all, guidance and things that he was saying for my life that just came to me when I began to seek him. And then praying for other people, ministering to other people. How do you know that? You know, it's like when we're connected in this intimate way by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have this connection, this lifeline to this whole other realm that by our physical senses, we can't see or hear or touch or feel. But when we're connected through the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the power of the Holy Spirit, things come that don't come by our physical senses. And people go, how did you know that? I remember I was in Brazil. The Lord took me to Brazil in my motorboat. Thank you. Didn't have to row there. And I was praying. I think I ministered that evening in a conference. And I preached the word, and a woman came to me after, and she said, will you pray for me? But she didn't say anything specific. She just said, your word really touched me. And so I began to pray for her. And in the middle, I stopped. And I just saw her with a baby, holding a baby. And I asked her, do you have children? And she started to cry. And she said, no, my husband and I really want a baby. And I said, well, you've got it. And she looked at me and she called her husband over, and tears are streaming down her face. And I said, you have that baby. I see you with it. You know, and I don't know this woman. I didn't know that, but it was just so clear as day. Like, this picture just came to me, and I thought maybe she had children. I didn't know what it meant exactly. And so that's the power inside of us, the power of the Holy Spirit that comes out. So hearing his voice was huge to me. I'm probably at my 5 minutes. One other thing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit has just kept me grounded in him, because in my own flesh, I can tend to be a little bit like tossed by the waves and a little bit emotionally up and down and discouraged one day and on cloud nine the other. And it's like, whoa, like, you know, a whirlwind. And the Holy Spirit, the more I press in to him, the more I pray in tongues, he keeps me steady, and he keeps me balanced in him and standing in his truth and having that truth active in my life, not just words on a page when I open the Bible, but it becomes, it's like he just, when I open the page, his hand comes up and goes, here's the truth, stand on this. And it grounds me. It keeps me much more even. And he's given my wonderful husband to me also, who has that stability that he's just like steady. And so that is also a blessing to me. But a verse that has meant a lot to me, Ephesians 1:23. It's like the very last little part of Ephesians chapter 1. And it's just like a couple words, but it's talking about, it says, the fullness of him that fills everything in every way. And that has, yeah, to me, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the power and the of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He has filled me. He has filled everything that I need in every way and more, and so that it just flows out. So bless you. Bless you as you continue to press in intimacy with the Holy Spirit, and bless you as you seek for that if you haven't yet received it, because it's amazing.
Thank you, Sarah. That was awesome. So the importance of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19 kind of, I think, rivets it. We're going to close this portion with that scripture from Acts chapter 19 about the importance of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It says, in verse 1, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" he asked them. "No," they replied. "We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." "Then what baptism did you experience?" he asked. And they replied, "The baptism of John." So Paul said, John's baptism called for the repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. And there were about 12 men in all. And so that really launched another really great church. But I was just impressed with this scripture that God wants everybody to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So if he wants everybody to be filled with the Holy Spirit, why are we so reticent to share that with people? And I think God is speaking to us as a church that as we go out into the streets and we minister to people, we should be as particular about getting them or bringing them or teaching them how to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we are about bringing them to Jesus in the first place. Because who is going to keep them after they get saved? Who's going to minister to them as they walk in the things of God? Who's going to keep them on the path of righteousness for his name's sake? It's the Holy Spirit. And if they don't have him, who are we to keep them? Who are we to hold them accountable? Who are we to speak into their lives? Because you can be with somebody for a few days, you can be somebody with for a few months, but the Holy Spirit, when he comes into their lives, he's with them forever. So it's so important for people to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you as you're ministering to people, just be bold like Paul was. I was also impressed with this scripture is because it's a lot like what we teach people with kind of the revived methodology to love, listen, discern, and respond. What was Paul doing? He was engaging these men, about 12 of them, a nice discipleship group, a good cell group. So a good potential cell group. He was just engaging them and he was loving them, you know, just listening to them, finding out where they were, locating them. And then discerning what they needed, who they needed, and then responding with what he had. What an amazing way to live life, and what an amazing way to bring the kingdom of God to a world that's hurting, dying, lost, and needy of Jesus, and needy of the Holy Spirit, and needy to come to God. So praise the Lord. So one last final scripture is really, I think, God wants to speak to us today. It's about confronting the powers of darkness. You know, when you come into the kingdom of God, at least one of the pictures that's painted in the Bible is that you become a soldier. Paul speaks to Timothy, and he said, you know, you should endure hardness like a good soldier. And so it's kind of, and you know, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're not of the flesh, but they're mighty through God to demolish strongholds. So, I mean, all of these things are kind of militaristic ways of looking at things. So just figure it this way. You're in the army now. And when you're in the army, you follow the orders of the leader, right? The commander in chief is the commander of your life. And so part of that is just confronting the powers of darkness. And in the Bible, all of the people who were men and women of God, they in some way had to confront the powers of darkness to get a breakthrough in their own personal lives, to get a breakthrough for their nation, to get a breakthrough in the things that were coming against them. So this scripture from Acts chapter 13, I think, is pretty riveting, and it shows really what the power of the Holy Spirit would do in the life of a person who's confronting the power of darkness. Acts chapter 13, starting with verse 6, it says, "Afterward, they traveled from town to town across the island until they reached Paphos, where they met a Jewish sorcerer, a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He had attached himself to the governor, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent man. The governor invited Barnabas and Saul to visit him, for he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, as his name means in Greek, interfered and urged the governor to pay no attention to what Barnabas and Saul said. He was trying to keep the governor from believing. Saul, who is also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked the sorcerer in the eye. Then he said, "You son of the devil, full of every sort of deceit and fraud, an enemy of all that's good, will you never stop perverting the true ways of the Lord? Watch now, for the Lord has laid his hand of punishment upon you, and you will be struck blind. You will not see the sunlight for some time." Instantly, mist and darkness came over the man's eyes, and he began groping around, begging for someone to take his hand and lead him. When the governor saw what had happened, he became a believer, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. When you confront the powers of darkness, and their power to kill, steal, and destroy and hinder is destroyed, then people can come to Jesus. So when we're fighting the good fight of faith, it means we must confront the powers of darkness. And to confront the power of darkness, we need to have what Paul had. That is the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It says Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit and he looked the sorcerer in the eye. Sometimes those kinds of things can be very, very, very intimidating. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, the boldness of God can rise up in every man, every woman, every young person, anybody who wants to stand for Jesus and take a stand for Jesus. Is it risky? Is it dangerous? Yeah, probably so. It was probably risky and dangerous for Paul to do this. But look what God did. An important official in the government came to Jesus because he was willing to confront the powers of darkness. So let's close this section with prayer. Father, we just thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this day of Pentecost, Lord, when not only the law came, but the Holy Spirit was poured out. Because we're aware, Lord, that with the law came death. But the laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have set us free from the laws of sin and death. We thank you, Father, for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And on this Pentecost Sunday, Lord, as we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the giving of the Torah, we just ask you, Lord, to continue to do what you began so many years ago, to pour out of your Spirit on all flesh. We ask you for a move of your Spirit across this nation, Lord, in every state, in every city, in every town, every village, every rural area. We ask you, Father, not only for our nation, but for the nations beyond us, Lord, that at this time of need and crisis, Lord, that you will pour out of your Spirit on all flesh, men's flesh, women's flesh, old flesh and young flesh, Father God, every ethnic group, Lord, every background, every culture, Father God, from the farthest to the closest, Lord, we ask you to pour out of your Spirit, Lord, in an amazing, amazing way. Lord, we're looking for the great awakening that's been prophesied and been predicted, Lord. We're looking for the outpouring that's been predicted before you come back, Jesus. We're thankful and grateful to be entrusted with this time and this hour. And we ask you, Lord, just to continually refill and refill and refresh the power of the Holy Spirit from within, so that we can fulfill the calling, the mission, the plan, and the purpose that you have for our lives, for the church family, Lord, and for those beyond. And for it, we thank you, and we give you praise, and we give you honor, because it's Jesus. You are the Lord. You are the King. You are the Exalted One on high. And we thank you, Father God, for opportunities to share our testimony, Lord, and to overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. For it, we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.